Yo, Thought Warriors. What is up? Higher Learning is on. It is I, Van Lathan Jr.
And it's me, Rachel and Lindsay.
Rach, what is the science? You got something that you want to talk about. I love it. You're coming in hot.
Well, I've had a crazy week, and next week is going to be even more wild. There's a lot going on in LA. Got a lot of different shoots being pulled this way and that way. But yesterday I had a really fun interview. So I was interviewing for Issa Rae's new show, Rap Shit, which is really good. You guys, I don't normally come on here and promote movies and shows that you should see, but like Rap Shit is a really fun show, and you guys should all check that out on HBO Max. Right. So that was a great interview. Then I saw the movie Nope. So I did the junket for Nope. And
did
then
you like
I
it?
Did. I did. I did. And then I did later that night, I did the DC Superheroes of Pets or Pets.
Pet Superheroes. They got Batman's face. Bozeman, come here. They got Batman's dog. They got Superman's dog. It looks like a lot of fun.
Well, so I was talking to the director about that, and he was telling me this research, and I said, you know, it makes sense. Humans have pets. Why do superheroes not? And he was like, well, yeah, everybody knows about Crypto, Superman's dog. But he said he was doing research for comic books back in the 40s and the 50s, and he realized that a lot of these superheroes did have pets. Some of them he made up, but some do. So it's a really interesting concept, and that was cool. And big names were with that, Keanu Reeves, Kevin Hart, The Rock. But when I was doing the Nope junket, which is Jordan Peele's new movie, which everyone should go see. It's so good. And the message behind it is great, too. Kiki Palmer, Daniel Kaluuya. So I'm talking to Kiki and like we're talking and we're doing our thing and catching up. And Daniel just looks at me and I'm talking about Kiki's outfit. She's talking about my outfit. And then Dale, like, he's like, oh, and he's pointing towards my outfit. And I'm like, oh my gosh, is something wrong? Did I do something? And he goes, Van. And I was like, oh shit.
He called you Van?
He goes, Van, it's Van. And he goes, I go, you did our podcast, Harlan. He's like, I never forget a face. He was like, I did. And I was like, yeah, you should come back anytime. And he was like, yeah, you know, like he had a good time on the podcast. He was like, yeah, you do the podcast with Van. And I was like, but it's Rachel. It's Rachel.
He thought your name was Van?
No, he knew my name wasn't Van, but he remembered that he couldn't think of Higher Learning. He remembered you. So I thought you would appreciate that he was like, Van. And I was like, yes, you did our podcast, Higher Learning. You remember that? I was like, yeah, we had a really good interview with you.
Didn't we see him again at the party that night?
I didn't talk to him, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, you ran up to him?
No, I didn't run up to him. I've known Daniel. Shut up! No, I didn't run up to him like I knew Daniel from. But yeah, he, you know,
so
Rachel.
It was really nice. It was a really nice Rachel, shout out. Like, I want to share that compliment with you. Like, he's like, Van. And I was like, yes, I do the podcast with Van Higher Learning. But he was like, I never
that was
forget
a good,
a face.
That interview went up for us. That interview was great.
Yeah. And I was like, you should come back. We had a great interview with you. We loved having you.
We're talking about that interview. There's a lot of Black Panther stuff that was in that interview, and there's a lot of Black Panther news coming out right now. Are you excited for Black Panther Wakanda Forever? Are you excited for that movie?
Well, the news just dropped, so that's disappointing.
That Daniel Kaluuya is not in it?
He's not in it, and I got that information 10 minutes after my interview, which I totally would have asked him about.
That's crazy.
Can I say, I don't get nervous to interview people, but he makes me nervous. To
Why?
Do an interview because he's so smart and he's very like you could tell he thinks about things and he's just like deep and like introspective. And I just am like, am I going to say something that sounds stupid? Because obviously my show is an entertainment show and there's a lot of like, you know, like we like surface level. It's like we don't go deep. That's not the type of show we put out. So I just am like, am I embarrassing myself? He makes me nervous to do interviews.
I used to have jealousy for Black British dudes.
Oh, it's got to be more than the accent that made you jealous.
Nah, it was just like they like. So there's this sketch on this Rick Ross mixtape, and the guy wasn't British. The guy wasn't Black. I could tell he wasn't Black, but he was British, and he was talking about all his expensive shit. People are gonna remember that. He goes, Gucci loafers, boom and boom, socks, baby. And he's talking about all the expensive shit that he wears. You know what I mean? And you know, I used to know this guy named Niall, who lived here in LA back in the day. He was from, I'd be like, he was a black British dude and like, come over here with that turtleneck, being all cool. Like he James Bond. And they would talk. And they say bruv. They don't say bruh, they say bruv. And for some reason, bruv seems superior to bruh. I say bruh, you say bruv. I'm like, huh. You know what I mean? So it is bruv. They hang out with WizKid. You know, they know. All of these guys, they got a cool little crew. I'm gonna be honest with you. Daniel and them got a cool little crew, man. It's Daniel, it's Damson. Of course, Drake's got to be in the crew. It's like all
is
of these.
Is he in
guys,
the crew?
Drake's probably in the crew. I'd say Drake's in that crew. I'd say they got a killer little crew, man. I'm missing some guys, but they got like a killer crew. Like I like those guys, man. They're very, very nice guys. Very approachable guys. It's funny. Years, I met, shout out to DeRay. I did Pod Save America this morning. So DeRay took me to this party one time when I first met him some years ago. And DeRay took me to the party, and that's where I met Daniel. And Daniel goes, oh, yeah, you're the Kanye bruv.
Bruv.
Bruv. Bruv is great.
Listen, I think it's great. And I love that he, you know, kind of gave a podcast a little shout out. He gave you a shout out in our podcast. But yeah.
What did you think of Nope? What did you think of Nope?
I thought it was really good. I think that this is what I'll say to people who are watching it. All Jordan Peele movies have a message, right? There's a deeper meaning. Don't watch it and wait for like something crazy to happen. There's a deeper message with it. So if you need to watch it in that sense, like trying to figure out like what is he trying to say? No, things happen for sure.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say that. They definitely do. But I like the message because there was a part where I was like, wait, why did they do that? It's because of the message that he's trying to put out there with it. But it's cool to see a black UFO movie. You don't, that's why he said he wanted to do part of it too. You don't really see that. We talked about UFOs. We talked like I'm having to accept the fact that we're not alone. I don't like that. And I'm gonna tell you something that happened. We were at Universal Lot doing the interview, and they have built an attraction from the movie on the lot. So we were on that set filming. And while I'm talking to Jordan, all of a sudden we both stop in the middle of the interview because a door started to creak or this car thing was moving. Yeah. It was one of the two. And I was like, I want to go home.
You don't have to worry about the aliens ever coming for you because you're too much of a picky eater.
Why does that have to do with anything? What does that aliens, have to do with anything?
The aliens are a nomadic species. They like variety.
You don't know this.
They like variety. They are absolutely, what do you mean? If the aliens come here, they're by nature nomadic, Rachel. Do you know what Hawking says about the aliens?
No.
Rest in peace to my dog, Stephen Hawking. Read some Stephen Hawking stuff. Hawking says that there is less than a 10% chance that the aliens are our friends. like Hawking thinks that if the aliens are taking all of this time to develop whatever type of technology that would be needed to go across the universe or whatever, be it maybe they can create a wormhole, maybe they have a hyperdrive, whatever it would take. If they can do that, then they're likely doing it because their planet is in need of resources. And they're coming right here to take over ours.
What if we're the aliens?
What does that mean, Rachel?
I don't know. But I do have two questions for you.
Sure.
I do have two questions for you. One, if aliens are watching us, which it's not an if for you, they are apparently.
They're out there.
And they're watching us. What do you think they're saying about us?
I don't know. See, I think that we think that aliens perceive us like we perceive us. And the aliens are probably, in my opinion, there are certain cultural things about our civilization that they wouldn't understand. So they wouldn't understand why we're mad. They would probably look at us and be like, why are y'all mad? Y'all got waterfalls. You know, they probably look at us like we look at Mars. Like we look at Mars and we analyze what's on Mars. Mm-hmm. And in analyzing what's on Mars, we do it from a very numbers and figures standpoint. If there were people on Mars, do you know how long it would take us to understand the people on Mars? It would take a long time. Now, I know the aliens have been around for a while. And if they've tried to come down here and study us, which is why they don't want people who are picky eaters, because that would narrow their scope of education. They don't want to study somebody. They don't want to study someone that eats a pork chop, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. They want somebody to be able to teach them different foods. So, Rachel, you're not eating enough food. So the aliens need somebody.
Well, great. Then I'm fine. Wait, I have another question for you.
What?
I believe the answer is no for you. But do you know anyone who's had an experience with like an alien encounter, some extraterrestrial experience?
See, the answer is yes. But
for you? Or do you know someone?
I know someone. But like, okay. I also come from a family that deals with substance abuse. So niggas be high. So you never know. It's like we're from Maringouin, Louisiana. We're from out there. And the aliens come out there because, you know, we cook many different foods, number one. And number two, when you jack somebody from the country, it's easy to get in and get out.
That's kind so of I know nope. People,
yeah, kind of, yeah, exactly.
That's like
and so
nope, yeah.
I know people that definitely say that they were that they had situations with aliens. I don't know if I believe them. Because
maybe because they're high, they have a little bit more clarity. Like they're open to see those things.
Or maybe the aliens know that they get high. They've studied us enough to at least know that. And they know that nobody will believe them.
What did they say they saw?
Say that they saw a really bright star. Okay. And all of a sudden, the bright star got so close to the point to where it obviously couldn't be a star. Then all of a sudden, they were unconscious. And the only thing that they remember was getting pulled up by their back out of a sugarcane field. They get pulled up by their back out of a sugarcane field. They get pulled up out of their back and they felt like somebody was hugging their legs and their torso. And then when they woke up back in the sugarcane field, they were naked.
And more than one person has the same experience?
Just one person.
Okay.
This one person, sugarcane fields out there in Maryland. The alien took him out of sugarcane field.
It doesn't sound far-fetched.
I mean, it does. I believe it. Look, my job, my motto is you can't rule it out. You can't rule it out.
You're right. You can't rule it out.
It was funny when my dad was still living because he would just straight up like call you a dopehead to your face. You know, you tell the story, it'd be like, hey, son, go in there. Put your gun in the truck. That nigga on dope. We got no time for that. Drug addicts. So look, addiction is a very sad thing, guys. We're not making light of it. But, you know, sometimes people in my family were kind of funny. I have a big, I want to do a postmortem on Dallas now, if that's okay.
Oh my, your obsession with my city.
I would like to do a postmortem on Dallas.
The floor is yours.
Is that okay, Rachel?
The floor is yours.
So people were telling me to go to different places in Dallas to eat. I went to a place called Hard Eight Barbecue, which is kind of like a chain barbecue joint. Still was hidden. I don't care what y'all say. I know I was supposed to go to Smokey and Ronnie's Barbecue in the back alley of somebody's house.
Smokey John's is where you should have been.
Okay. I didn't get a chance to go there because we were shooting too long. We got a lot of interviews in the 4 or 5 days we were in Dallas.
That's good.
So I went to Hard Eight Barbecue, ate there a couple of times. It was still dope. It's kind of like they're three different Hard Eight barbecues.
Pecan Lodge?
What's Pecan Lodge? What's that?
It's a barbecue place.
Never went. I just told you where I went. I went to the Hard Eight barbecue.
I thought you said you went to multiple places.
Oh, they have three different places, but I only got a chance to go to. I didn't get a chance to explore that much of Dallas, you know, because we had so much shooting to do. But I did walk around and go to Dealey Plaza, which you told me was far from my hotel, which is not far at all.
That's the name of the JFK thing. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I did say
yeah.
It's far.
You said it was far. It's not far at all. Like, I got to experience humanity as I walked by a Greyhound station, and I walked down to Dealey Plaza, and I saw where they shot JFK, which I had never seen it before. In my other times in Dallas, I never made it out to Dealey Plaza before. They really lined JFK right up there at a major intersection. From the book, and it's not a far shot. I looked at it, the shot, it's not a far shot.
How long book, were you down there analyzing stuff?
I'm going to be honest with you. I was down there investigating. I was down there at Dealey Plaza.
You were going to solve something?
I was at Dealey Plaza for at least like an hour and a half. And it was hot. Even though
I can't believe you were down there that long.
I was, because look, the book depository is up here, right? And then they shot them like up the seat. And then there was the grassy knoll. The grassy knoll looks exactly like it looks on TV. You would think that they would change the knoll, but they didn't.
No, no, no. And let it be known that you didn't think it was far because you literally will walk for 5, 6, 7 miles. And it's not even that far. It's still downtown. So for you, that's not far.
Yeah, it's 0.5 miles away. It's not far at all. Like, it's not,
and the it's heat, like, and the heat, it's a mile and a half. Sorry.
So I was shadowboxing outside, you know, across the street from my hotel where those statues of those longhorns were. The cows, right? And as I was shadowboxing, I looked over and there was a little rabbit. I took a picture of the rabbit. I said to Kalika, and I was like, wow, this is like a moment of zen in Dallas. I had a spiritual moment. I'm shadowboxing out there. I'm getting sweaty and the rabbit's just chilling looking at me. It's a Texas rabbit. I felt like a oneness with Texas right then. All of this to say that I am ridiculously disappointed that I did not get a chance to meet your parents in Dallas. Every time I would pass by the little judge building, because there's a federal office right around the corner from our hotel.
I told you that. The federal building is right around the corner from you. That's my dad's office.
Right. I would tell people I know a federal judge.
I'm so, believe me, they're just as disappointed. They're just as disappointed. My mom constantly sends your posts in the family group chat. Because I'll look, it'll be Instagram posts, and it's like Van Lathan. And I'm like, yeah, I know him. I don't need to post his stuff in the chat.
How are they doing?
Much better. Much better. Much better. Yeah, they're all good. All good.
Everybody's good.
My sister has COVID, though, now.
She has COVID? Which one? So we're talking about Rimshot?
The oldest one. The oldest one. Yeah. Rimshot. Yeah. Has COVID. She's coming to LA in a couple of weeks with the kids.
Oh, what are y'all
oh my gosh. If my nephew, you know, my nephew's obsessed with the Yo-Yo-Yo Thought Warriors.
Alexander?
Alistair.
I thought it was Alexander.
It's Alistair.
Alistair is really the name of a comic book supervillain.
Is it? I thought it was just British.
It's always a name like a guy like Alistair who figured out how to like harness the energy of a star, and now he's going to use it to destroy Detroit. And like, you know what I mean? And Superman
He'll
has
love
to
that.
Like,
he's a superhero.
I said he's a supervillain.
Oh, but don't they have powers too?
Sometimes.
Supervillain, superhero, whatever.
How old is Alistair again?
He'll be 8 this month.
Damn. He's getting up there.
Yeah, he is.
What year was he born?
2014. He and Copper are the same age. Same age-ish.
Copper, man. We have to talk about something. Speaking about parents and kids, something I'm really fucking pissed off about. I gotta be honest with you.
No, you're not. No, you're not.
I am you super can't pissed off.
You cannot what? Be. Let them know. Because this is... I'm very upset with your take already.
We'll take a break. On the other side is the big deal of the day. Let's go.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. Atlassian.com. Atlassian. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles. because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com.
Okay, big deal of the day / is this fucked up? We have to talk about this. The Put Your Shoes On Challenge. It's parents telling their kids to back them up in a fight at a new TikTok trend. The viral online trend sees parents rush up to their children and ask them to put on their shoes in order to fight another child outside for them, producing some unpredictable responses. The children are racking up millions of views. Often the parents will reveal that they are set to fight another parent who has seemingly brought their child as well. Here's some audio of the challenge.
Put your shoes on because I gotta go fight someone's tia. So I need you to come with me in case you have to fight her nephew, okay?
I can't.
Why not?
Today?
Yeah. Is that okay?
Is it Nono?
No, I have to fight someone's tia.
This tia?
No, someone else's tia.
Someone else's tia?
Yeah. So I need you to help me fight in case she brings her nephew. I need you to fight him.
I can't.
Why not?
Because I need to go to Target.
I need you to put your shoes on. I need you to put your shoes on. I'm finna go beat up this girl, and if her daughter jump in, I need you to handle her daughter. Let's go. Put your shoes on.
I don't say that. But who this girl? Why
y'all fighting? Sonali, I need you to go put your shoes on right now.
Why?
Because I'm about to go fight somebody, and I need you to fight their daughter if I'm fighting somebody. Come on.
Okay, that's enough. There was one that was really heartbreaking. There was a father, and I swear to God, it almost makes me want to cry. There was a father who told his son, put your shoes on. We're going to go fight. And the son is like, I'll go fight, but just to let you know, I always lose fights, Dad. I'm like, oh, my God.
And that's another issue. That has nothing to do with the challenge. It's a whole other conversation.
Oh, excuse me. It does have to do with the challenge. This challenge is fucking despicable.
Oh my gosh.
It's despicable.
No.
Okay.
Go ahead. Say why it's so despicable.
I'll tell you why.
You of all people. I cannot believe you are this sensitive. I cannot believe you're this sensitive about it. Right. Go ahead. Go ahead.
So look. If you're out there, you've been in a fight before. If you've been in a fight before, don't matter how many fights you've been in. Obviously, we know those people that grew up with us that like to hurt people. But like, when you feel danger, there's a jolt in your body where you're like, oh my God, this is real. I gotta go do this. Right? Or there's a point, especially when you have in your first couple of fights where you're like, there's no way out. I gotta fight. There's no, boom, it's time to get busy. There's no way out. Your parent giving you that feeling because you got to go outside and fight for TikTok? The little feeling that you like, oh my God, I got to go out and hurt, the little shock of fear, the little for nothing for TikTok? That's demented. I'm like, for TikTok. That's demented. I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry.
So most of those people have not been in a fight. And you could tell that, like, outside of the response that you just gave me about the kid who's like, I mostly lose them. So he probably has a different experience. Most of them were confused and were like, cause like they don't fight and they were asking questions. And I mean, so many people are doing this. I want to do this with my nephews. They're not going to have that feeling.
So crazy.
They're not going to have, and I'm not even a person who's trying to go viral. I think I want to see their reaction. Like, they've never been in a fight before. And I think it's funny. I love the kids who are down, who are like, say no more, like putting their shoes on and ready to go.
Yeah.
It would only be an issue to me if this is something that continued and they had them put their shoes on and they hyped them up and they took them outside and they're standing out there waiting. But immediately, it doesn't last longer than a minute. They're like, I'm just kidding. Then to me, people who have a problem with this are being overly sensitive and are analyzing this in a way that it shouldn't be analyzed. This isn't one of those TikTok trends that's going too far. It's a joke. It lasts a minute or less. It's not traumatizing. It doesn't have long-term effects. Chill out. There are way more things to be bothered by on TikTok than this. This is not that big of a deal. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. These kids' brains aren't developed yet. And we have to take more care of them.
How dumb do you think 7 and 8 year olds are?
They're pretty fucking dumb.
Their brains aren't developed yet?
Their brains are certainly not developed yet. This is science. Donnie, real quick, jump in. Is the brain of an 8 year old kid developed yet?
No.
Thank you, Donnie. That's enough.
What is Donnie's take on this? Ask Donnie's take.
Donnie, what's your take?
I'm with Van on this. I think it's fucked up. But it can be two things at once. It can be fucked up. Oh, she left.
Rachel left the chat.
I just took my camera. I just took my camera away.
That gave me a jolt of fear.
See? You traumatized Donnie.
I just took my camera away. But go ahead, Donnie. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say it can be two things at once. It can be fucked up, but also hilarious. Because I'm not going to lie, I took some great joy out of watching these clips. So I'm glad that these parents traumatized their kids, but I myself would not do that.
So look, most things that are fucked up are funny. I'm not going to lie. It is funny. I just want to know where this clout-based society is going to go. When is this going to stop? Like, what's the limit?
I think the limit on this one would have been giving somebody, a kid, a weapon, right? If you're like, hold this knife, we're about to go out here. Like, that's too far. But telling someone to put their shoes on, I did see one video where a little girl looked so discombobulated and she got up to start doing it and the mom followed her and then she came around the corner and she was like, I don't want to fight. And the mom was like, oh my gosh, no. And then the next clip, the mom's holding her and she's like, you don't want to help me out? She's like, uh-uh. And it's funny. So the mom showed that
it's
the daughter-
It's not funny!
But wait, the mom showed that the daughter was okay. And she was like, I'm telling her it was a joke.
I'm telling her it was a joke.
Maybe I'm insensitive.
She made her baby cry for no reason.
I text my sister, who can be very sensitive about these things. She's going to be mad that I said this because she listens to every episode. Uh-huh. I text my sister and I said, have you seen the kid challenge that's going on with the parents and the shoes and the fighting? I was like, I want to do this with the boys. And she laughed. And she was like, okay. I was like, when they come here in a couple of weeks.
Look, I'm not about to judge people, but it'll be played out by then. By then, it won't be...
Exactly, because I'm not trying to go viral, but I think it's funny to watch. I went down a dark hole with it.
It'll be something even more traumatizing. It'll be like the We Going to R. Kelly's House challenge.
Exactly.
People will be walking up to their kids. Hey, you guys, we're about to go to R. Kelly's house. How do you feel? Oh, I don't want to go. He's creepy. Get in the car. It'll be something like that, or the We Hide the Body challenge. Hey, I just killed your father. Guys, come help me hide the body. Well, yuck, yuck for Twitter. I don't get it. I don't get it.
I think that if you made it too close to a real life situation is where it's drawing the line. I think putting weapons in the hands, and I'm just giving a scenario, if there was a effed up challenge about like school shootings or something like that, that to me is where you're like, that's way too far. Can you imagine somebody like this to me did not hit those levels. You think it did. By the face you're making, you're telling me that you think it did.
I'm saying that I don't see the point. I don't see the point.
How many videos did you watch?
I didn't watch any of them.
No, because you gave an example.
Wait, no, that one just came across my feed because it was on Instagram. So you're right, I did watch the one, but I didn't watch any of them. I swear on my dad.
Oh, I believe you that you did. Yeah, but Donnie did. I did.
I'm not judging nobody.
So the
I'm
point
just saying,
is, when you're like, you don't get the point of it, Donnie and I were entertained.
There you go.
That was the point.
I feel you. Look, this is all I'm saying, man. Hey, cloud is a hell of a drug.
And it could go too far.
You guys got your kids. You know what this is? I got my hand right here, Rachel. This is
The face roller.
No, it's not a face roller. It's for my feet.
Get it away from your face.
It's for the bottom of my feet. And I was in here. By the way, last thing I'll say about the kids, hey, parents, be responsible, all right? Traumatizing these kids. And they're going to leave and go play Fortnite, blow somebody's head off on Fortnite. Stop. It's trauma. Anyway.
It could go too far. This challenge is not. But please explain
the feet. So I got this thing for my feet, right? This thing right here. Because the bottom of my left foot is like, it's Krusty the Clown, man. It's crusty. It's like, for some reason, like that heel just would be crusty. I go get a pedicure, it's still crusty. So I took this little grinder thing and I bought it off Amazon and I was like, you know, grinding my foot. Have you ever used one of these on your feet?
Uh-uh.
You haven't? I'm using a grinder thing and it's foot particles spraying all into the air.
like the Martin episode. You got to go to work on Myra's feet. It's a sandblaster. It's a sandblaster.
And it's like I'm cutting into stone. And the thing is, I don't even feel it. I'm like, God damn, man.
So it works?
But it really was a, it worked. It really does work.
All right.
It really does work.
I'm going to say something.
I'm
going to need you to send me the link.
Oh, yeah. You want this.
I got some hard heels. I'm not even going to lie. I got some hard heels. I need you to send me the link. Lotion, Vaseline isn't working. My feet are doing something crazy out here in this desert.
Yeah.
And I need you to send me the link. All jokes aside, I need the sandblaster.
Let me ask you a question. How about I just let you borrow this one?
That's okay.
Hey, Rachel, come on, man. It's we family, nigga.
You here, use it. Listen, you might see my heels and might not want that to happen.
Oh, that's true. That's true. You never know. Jill Biden. God damn, Biden, they're struggling, man. So Jill Biden made some comments during a conference in San Antonio for the Latino Civil Rights and Advocacy Organization, Unidos UA, where she commented on diversity of the community and the work of Raul
Isaguirre.
Okay.
Thank you,
okay.
Donnie.
The commented on the work of Raul Isaguirre. This is what she had to say.
But we can't get those things on our own. Raul helped build this organization with the understanding that the diversity of this community, as distinct as the Bogotas of the Bronx, as beautiful as the blossoms of Miami, and as unique as the breakfast tacos here in San Antonio.
Oh my God.
Wait. In that clip, when she said it, there was silence, right? Right, Donnie?
Yeah, there was.
There was complete silence.
Yeah.
Do we have the clip where she before tried to say, si puede?
Oh, let me find that. Hold on.
Because this isn't a one-off, is what I need people to understand.
Okay, so.
And I'm saying it the correct way, but go ahead.
In a statement on Monday, the National Association of Hispanic Journalists called on the First Lady and her speechwriting team to take the time in the future to better understand the complexities of our people and communities, adding, we are not tacos. And do not reduce us to stereotypes. I'm sorry, man. Like, how in the fuck do you go up there on the stage and call some people tacos, man?
Like, and bogotas. People. And bogotas. Like, it's bodegas, first of all. Donnie, play the clip.
So say it with me. Si se puede. The future is
okay, wait. Wait a minute. Wait a minute, guys. There's a lesson here. I have something to say to white people. Don't do the extra shit. Just do the regular shit. You know, like, it shows how culturally out of touch you are.
Very much so.
You know, I'll give you an example. Like, we're going to play basketball, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Say I invite somebody to play basketball. He doesn't know how it goes on a basketball court. I want to play basketball right now. I look at the calls, I throw on the shirt. I throw on some shoes, and I throw on my shorts, and I go out to the basketball court because I play basketball all the time. This is what I do. So I'm comfortable at basketball or boxing, right? Shut up, Rachel. Or boxing. I go out there, I put my gloves on, I put some shorts on, I wear my boxing shoes, I'm comfortable there. Now you invite somebody who's never been before, and right away they're worried about the fit. So what do? They go to Foot Locker. Uh-huh. They get goggles, they get wristbands, they get knee bands, they buy a new pair of kicks, and they come out there looking like a fucking basketball astronaut. And we look at you like it's crazy. It's one. That to me is how white people act sometimes when they show up at these spots. Just wear your gym shorts, come to the thing, and be regular. Why you ain't got to call the people tacos? You ain't got to call them tacos. Like, they know they tacos good. They don't need you to tell them. Like, get up there and tell them how you're going to help out. Pack your bags. Get the fuck out of town.
Just be you. Just please. And especially if this has happened to you before, where you have tried and failed when you try to relate to the Latino community. Don't, like, just stop. And she really thought she was funny. If you watch the clip, after she said the tacos, she laughed. No one else did. There was an awkward silence. Jill, I don't know if they're having, if I know a lot of people have exited the Biden administration. I don't know if her speech writer was one of those people, but I don't know who's writing these speeches, but that should have never been approved. And if it was an ad lib, even worse, Jill, this was not it. And we're laughing, but if it offended, and it did, the Latino community, then it's wrong. It's wrong. We're laughing at how ridiculous it is and how ludicrous it is at the fact that she thought that this was okay. And it just shows how out of touch you are with the community. You ain't got nobody that could have told you that that was not okay. You literally reduced them to tacos and bodegas and whatever she said about Miami.
Do you remember when Trump had the tostada? You remember that?
On Instagram?
Yeah. And he had the tostada and he was like, yo, I'm eating a tostada.
Yeah.
It's really dehumanizing.
Yeah.
To reduce our Latin brothers and sisters down to cumin, right? It's dehumanizing. Guys,
what would be the equivalent to doing that to our culture? What three things would she have said
fried chicken, watermelon,
black to the fried peas. Chicken of the South?
I'm telling you, consider that. Consider how
that's
mad
what
we
you need to do. Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. Put yourself in the in like the shoes, as you said, of our Latino brothers and sisters. Put in black references or things that are that are supposed to be stereotypical to the black community. We would be hot. Okay? So Jill shouldn't get a pass for this. And
hell
I don't like
no.
And I don't like that her spokesperson said something instead of Jill. If I'm getting this right, and correct me if I'm wrong, Tani, I believe her spokesperson came out and said something instead of Jill actually apologizing.
Yeah, you're right.
And sometimes, to be honest with you,
that's bad. That's tacky.
And sometimes this is left privilege. Sometimes I gotta be honest with you. Sometimes this is left privilege. You know, if
you ain't black, that's
you ain't black.
You ain't black.
Sometimes this is left privilege. You guys, it on either side there is a special. There's a special fog of cultural insensitivity that whiteness is in proximity to. This fog of offensive language and fucked up shit. And that fog is as heavy on the left as it is on the right. I know it's hard for people to come to terms with that, but it's true. Okay. Speaking of, let's get back to talking about the real villains in America. The Steve Bannons of the world. Mother Jones has audio where Steve Bannon, you guys, let's take a pause for a second. Later on in this podcast, we're going to talk about the fact that Orlando Brown said that Bow Wow has good pussy. That's funny. I'm not saying that that's not funny. But while we're talking about things, other things that are funny and pop culture relevant, pop culturally relevant, I don't know if that's even a word. The fate of the democracy is being ballied about and litigated in Washington. This is Steve Bannon. This is Steve Bannon talking to a group of Trump associates prior to January 6th, prior to all the fracas that happened with the election and everything. This is Steve Bannon being dead on balls accurate about how Donald Trump might handle losing the 2020 election. Donnie?
And what Trump's going to do is just declare victory, right? He's going to declare victory. But that doesn't mean he's the winner. He's just going to say he's the winner. The Democrats, more of our people vote early that count. Theirs voted mail. And so they're going to have a natural disadvantage, and Trump's going to take advantage of it. That's our strategy. He's going to declare himself a winner. So when you wake up Wednesday morning, it's going to be a firestorm. We're going to have Antifa crazy, the media crazy, the courts are crazy, and Trump's going to be sitting there mocking, tweeting shit out, you lose. I'm the winner. I'm the king. And he'll be all over. He'll be going, where's Hunter? Is Hunter on a crack pipe? I mean, no, he'll be, because then it doesn't matter. Remember, here's the thing. After then, Trump never has to go to a voter again. He's going to fire Ray, the FBI director. He's going to say, fuck you. How about that? Because he's never going to, he's done his last election. Oh, he's going to be off the chain. He's going to be crazy. Also, if Trump is losing by 10 or 11 o'clock at night, it's going to be even crazier. No, because he's going to sit right there and say, they stole it. I'm directing the attorney general to shut down all ballot places in all 50 states. It's going to be no. He's not going out easy. If Biden's winning, Trump is going to do some crazy shit.
If Biden's winning, Trump's going to do some crazy shit.
Now, was he speculating what would happen, or was this he saying he knew this was going to happen?
If that's speculation, then he is Nostradamus. If that's speculation, then I need to call Steve Bannon and get the lottery numbers for him. He gave us a playbook on what the response from the White House would be. Not only what it would be in the short term, but in the long term. To me, there is no absolutely zero way that this strategy and this sort of confluence of different options wasn't discussed amongst Trump, his closest allies, and other people who had knowledge about his plans after the election.
It's, first of all, are a lot of people talking about this? Because I didn't see it until you posted it. Now, I've been in a little bit of a hole with work, but still, are people talking about this? One, or is this something that's just getting buried in the rest of like, oh, January 6th talk and the, you know, like in the committee and all of that. And the, it's my question to you. It's out there. People really talking about it.
Because I posted it in hopes that people would really talk about it. I know that Steve Bannon is due to, you know, appear here pretty soon. He's on trial Monday for criminal contempt after he ignored a subpoena last year from the House Select Committee that is investigating January 6th, which goes to January 6th committee. So he's going to be on trial for that. But in my continuous, voracious need to be up on everything that's happening in the in the hearings. I came across it. I don't know how much push this is getting other places. But I mean, I saw it. It wasn't, I didn't have to dig for it. It was on, R. Melbourne had it. So it was on like MSNBC and stuff.
So here's my thing. In the grand scheme of things, how much of a splash is this really going to have?
Because it's not going to have any splash if we don't make a lake for it.
Well, here's my thing. At this point, the people who are listening to that, most like us, aren't surprised that this was said. It's shocking that it's recorded and it's just now coming out. But we're not surprised that Steve Bannon said something like that. The people who are the extremists who want to believe everything Trump is doing are just going to say, oh, it was speculation and Trump was, you know, it turned out to be true because this election was rigged. I almost feel like this, as damning as this audio recording is, in the grand scheme of things, people are going to continue to believe what they want to believe because it's not like it's not obvious at this point that the election was not rigged. And people are still choosing to believe that kind of information. They will come up with something to explain, even though it might not be logical, as to why this recording came out. Oh, it's a fake recording. Oh, Steve Bannon was just kidding. Oh, Rachel, he was just speculating.
Rachel, you're navigating the Kook River.
I'm all in it.
You're in a boat and you got an oar and you're Dude. On Kook River. You're navigating the Kook River. Fuck the Kooks.
I'm in it.
Can't change your mind on the Kooks, Rachel. I agree. But it's not about navigating the Kook River. We're not going to swim in Kook River. We're not going to rowboat in Kook River. We're not taking the big Mark Twain-esque steamboat down Kook River. Can't do anything in Kook River. What this has to be is energizing to the people that are on the bank watching the Kooks. They have to have the information. I'm not talking about the people whose minds I can't change anymore. Fuck them. You don't think that climate change is a real deal? I can't talk to you. I need the people who might believe that climate change is real to be even more active than what they would be. So you're right. Mm. The kooks are out. We can't swim down Kook River. We can't navigate them.
Do you think there are people who are really in between? I feel like people either think that the re-election was rigged or it wasn't. And people who are still voting on for Republicans and Trump, it's because of issues or just aligning themselves with the party. I believe there are Republicans who believed it wasn't rigged and are still voting Republican. I believe it's either black and white at this point. I don't think there's anybody in between when it comes to the election.
You're right. But I do think that there are people that still believe that the election, how about this? I think that there are people that know that the election wasn't stolen and they don't care enough. Mm. What I need to do is to make the people who are not with the kooks care more.
Okay.
So I need them to know exactly how purposeful the steal was. Because they were trying to steal something, not the other side that won the election. And I need them to know exactly how desperate the times are so they can meet the moment. So that's why stuff like this is important. It's not important for the kooks. Because even if there's somebody whose mind might be changed, it really doesn't matter. I'm talking about all this information needs to come out. So I feel like people need to know what they're up against. But I understand what you're talking about. You know, I get it. Mm-hmm. Don't swim in Kook River, though.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. Atlassian.com. Atlassian. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on Hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there, just in case I changed. my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
All right, the House passed a bipartisan bill to create an active shooter alert system.
Mm-hmm.
Legislation Wednesday that would create an Amber Alert-like system for active shooter situations. 260 to 169 vote. Lawmakers approved the Active Shooter Act, which was sponsored by a bunch of different people. I'm not going to read all their goddamn names. nearly all votes in opposition were Republicans. Interesting. With the exception of Democratic Representative Ron Kind of Wisconsin, who is not running for re-election, is going to allow law enforcement to deploy the alert system in emergency situations and notify the public about active shooters. Rach.
How could you vote against this? Like, that's when I saw this, it's like, what could possibly be in your being? Now, do I think that this necessarily helps? Maybe. You know, like I think this is a step forward. I don't think that this is resolving the bigger issue, but it's a step towards helping, you know, in a situation where there's an active shooter. But the fact that there are 169 people who voted against it, please help me understand why. What could you possibly find wrong with a bill that alerts people that there is an active shooter? What could be wrong against it? Is there something deep embedded within this bill that we're not catching? I'm not understanding it. It just shows how ridiculous people are about voting for with party lines because of who put the bill forward. This is ridiculous, y'all. This is a bipartisan bill. It should be so simple. This should have gone through in a unanimous way. I don't understand what we're doing here.
So
not
I read
that
the,
I think that this is how. Oh, go ahead. You read the bill.
So I read the bill. It's a quick read. On its face, the bill seems like putting a Band-Aid over a slash from Freddy Krueger. Mm-hmm, and maybe mm-hmm. In the grand scheme of things, it is. But there are some interesting things in the bill. There are some interesting things in the bill that pique my interest.
What they cause you to vote no.
Well, not that will cause me to vote no, that okay. Actually makes me think that the bill in and of itself, because when I think about stopping mass shooters, I think about gun control like everybody else does, right? And I think that at proximity to certain weapons and their place in our communities and our society are eventually going to be our willingness to confront that issue is eventually going to be what tells the story on how we deal with active shooters. However, I do think that this bill actually is useful. I think it does a couple of interesting things. I'm not going to lie. I think number one, it federalizes it to a degree and starts a network of people to deal with it. And in that network of people, there ends up becoming an actual coordinator in charge of this active shooting warning sign. And there's a panel of people from different places in the government that are looking into how best to respond to these things and how best to deal with them. And their protocols have to be updated every 5 years. They have to kind of look at their membership at a certain amount of time, every time, and like make sure that they are completely in the know on this particular phenomenon, how it affects America. And to be honest with you, like, there's a mental health aspect to it in terms of studying that. There's, you know, so look, what I think, though, is that this is not at all a solution to the problem. But I do think it centralizes the response to this really American phenomenon in a positive way, but in a, I don't know. I think it's useful. It's useful if the people that are involved in this, if they're coming into this in good faith, I actually think that this is better than having nothing, because more than anything, what I want, and I've talked about this before, is what I want is this to be studied and researched to the point to where we can turn to some group or somebody and ask them for answers to this specific problem. And right now, there's such a gumbo of issues that are caught up into this that it's fragmented. It doesn't seem, there's not a holistic approach to dealing with this. And this is attempting to begin that conversation. Now, at the end of the day, being that this is bipartisan, I don't know how willing this group or this bill, the people that are going to be involved in this panel or this coordinator, whomever it's going to be, is going to be to take the guns into consideration here. I don't know how much it's going to be, but at least there's somebody to talk to.
Okay.
And if you read the bill, I would encourage everyone to read the bill. It is H.R. 6538. It is it's right there. You can go on congress.com, bill 117th Congress, House Bill 6538. You can read it right there. You can get the whole up and down of it. It's very short. It's one page long. It's pretty easy to understand. And you can see that it's not nothing. It's not the answer. But when I looked at it, I was pleasantly surprised at what I felt like it addressed. I'm going to be honest with you. So, you know, and it actually, of course, in any bill, it makes available funds to deal with this, to deal with how the warnings can get better, how to have people in there to have mental health discussions, and how to do all of that. It's by far not the answer. It's not close to being the answer, but I actually was pleasantly surprised when I read the bill. The scope is not that bad, to me at least, and I'm not an expert on the subject.
Well, which is why I don't understand why so many people voted against it.
Yes. Yes.
But I didn't read it. Thank you for doing the work, man.
Oh, do you know what you're supposed to do in a nuclear attack?
Duck and cover.
You know what? I don't want to do this topic because I'm not. You know, the weekend's coming up.
There's not. It's not a lot. But I do think that is terrifying.
Yes, terrifying.
We might as well have PSAs about aliens at this point. That's terrifying. Or
we might as well terrify our kids for TikTok. Same thing. All right.
I can't stand it.
Orlando Brown was on a podcast with Funny Marco, who's a very funny guy. And they went back and forth. And this back and forth had the internet in its clutches. Play the audio, Donnie.
When's the last time you watched 106 in Park?
Last time it was hot.
What's the weather today, y'all?
When Little Bow Wow was on there.
You got a problem with Little Bow Wow?
I ain't got a problem with Little Bow Wow. Little Bow Wow got some bomb ass pussy.
Okay. all right. Okay, man. You know what I'm saying, man? What? Okay, let me ask you this.
Okay.
Let me ask you this. What do you think he means by that?
I can't. Okay, first off, when I read this, I read it as Orlando Jones instead of Orlando Brown, and I was very confused. And I was like, why? What is Orlando Brown or Jones okay? I just didn't. And then I was like, oh my gosh, I was thinking of the wrong Orlando. Anyways, I'm not going to tell you what I think he meant because I don't think he's okay. So I'm not even going to try to make it logical or say what I think he was trying to say. He's not with us. He's not with us. He's not okay. And I think that was painfully evident when in the silence. I mean, like, Marco's like, what?
Yeah.
What do you think? Did you figure out what he meant by that? Do you think you know what he was trying to say?
I don't. Bow Wow responded. Bow Wow said, since when legends got to speak on fuckery? Bow Wow refers to himself as a legend, which I agree
noted.
With. I'm filming my new TV show as we speak and preparing for a sold out show at the O2 Arena for the Millennium Show in London. Bow Wow's prosperous man. I'm a 35-year-old. That's fucking crazy.
I never knew that he was that close to me in age.
That's fucking crazy. Rachel, you basically little Bow Wow.
I would go to the millennium tour, whatever it's called.
I'm a 35-year-old father. I don't play them type of games. You do know this Bow Wow talking to, right? I'm a boy. But he said Orlando Brown was bugged the fuck out and wilding. Says that the 34-year-old actor is on drugs and need help. Tweaked out, but you know that dude really need help. You know what I'm saying? That's why we ain't tripping on him. Nobody taking him serious. It's sad because he had the potential to be great. It's sad, them drugs. So I remember some time ago when there was a video of Orlando Brown rapping in church.
Absolutely.
And it seemed as if he was doing a little bit better, and he was better. It seems as if whatever was going right for him at that point is now going wrong for him again. He has doubled down on it, saying that he is, in fact, certain that Lil Bow Wow has some bomb ass pussy.
So I didn't watch the whole interview. Was he like this the entire interview?
More or less.
Did you think the interview was okay, and he was okay until he said this?
No.
Okay.
No, people don't normally snack on during the interview, you know, eating stuff out of a wrapper and all of that stuff. Look, I'll tell you guys this. I know everybody's having a fun time with this. And this is not far away. When I was growing up, whenever you would go into the Circle K right there off Gardier, it's like Gardier and GSRI. Whenever you would go into the Circle K, there'd be a guy out there, and he was obviously on drugs. Most likely he was a crackhead. And he would ask you for money. You know, you can give him money if you want it. But some people, before they gave him the money, they would ask him to dance. And he would dance for you. And he could dance. It wasn't like not entertaining. We've all seen this before. We've seen addicts in our neighborhoods dancing and cutting the fool. Sometimes they could rap. Sometimes they, you know, do all kinds of stuff. And like, hey, come over here and dance for us. You give them $5, you make them dance. And then you laugh. It was never funny. And this isn't funny. You know what I mean? It's like.
No, it's not funny.
This, like, I hate to be the wet blanket on this and what happened earlier, but as happy as we were for Orlando Brown, when he was doing better, we should be as concerned as we are now. And where I think we should be past the point in our society where we make the addicts dance for us. So I'm not saying that that line is not funny, because when you watch it, it catches you off guard.
And I mean, Marco, funny. He didn't laugh. He was like, what?
Yeah. Yeah. But just be careful. Like, we shouldn't be making the addicts dance anymore. We should be better than that. Let's take a break real quick.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details.
This episode is brought to you by Thomas's.
Thomas's presents Pondering the Bagel with Tom.
Oh, the paradox of the bagel. Tis crunchy yet soft. Tis filling yet has a hole. Tis a vehicle for spreads, but only travels from toaster to plate. Thomas's. Huzzah! A toast to breakfast.
How you feel about the Brittany Griner thing now?
I really liked our discussion on it. And I like that we discussed the fact that people are calling out Biden to do a lot of things. And Biden has since reached out to her wife. And, you know, Kamala Harris, I think, was doing something about it. But we talked about, because it is so high profile, I do think that there is some level of Biden to respond in some way, even if he doesn't have the answers to getting her out, at least let people know, because it is so high profile, that you're trying. So I mean, when you ask me how I feel about it, you know, I hope that there is some way that they can bring her home, as well as some of the other detainees who are there as well. But I also liked our dialogue about the fact that she did commit a crime. And I think that some people aren't focusing on that and are just looking at this like, she's an American citizen. She's trapped in this. They look at it as trapped instead of in prison. And that might be controversial to say it that way. But she's imprisoned in this foreign country. Bring her home. So I like that we hit different sides of it rather than just saying, you know, she's a basketball player, a Black woman stuck over there, American citizen, bring her home.
Well said. So the reality is that the punishment is, in our opinion, as Americans, it is far too severe for the crime. Mm-hmm. We know that. She's been in jail 100 plus days for having a half gram of marijuana residue. Or in a pen.
Like it's hash, like, or something. Yeah.
So it's not even, you know, it is illegal there. I think that, so LeBron James talked about this. This is what he said. Check it out.
Brittany Griner, she is in Russia. She's been there
over 110 days. Now, how can she feel like America has her back? I would be feeling like, do I even want to go back to America?
So LeBron James, why would you want to go back to America? Love LeBron. This is a ridiculous statement. Of course, she wants to come back to America. She wants to come back to America because this is where she's from. It has nothing to do with being patriotic. Her wife is here.
Right.
Okay. At the same time, she probably wants to go anywhere other than where she is right now. So it wasn't very well thought out statement by LeBron. Whatever. You win some, you lose some.
Well, it's very obvious what he was saying in that moment and what his sentiments were. So I just thought it was a little that he tried to backtrack and was like, no, that's not what I mean. You know, like kind of try to compliment. Let me try to find his tweet where he's like, my comments on the shop regarding Brittany Griner, it wasn't knocking our beautiful country. I was just simply saying how she probably feels emotionally, along with so many other emotions, thoughts, etc., inside that cage she's been in for over 100 plus days. Long story short, I do believe his sentiment of saying like, yeah, maybe she feels a certain way that she hasn't been brought home yet. And I understand what maybe he was trying to say, but the way he said it just comes off it's like, of course she wants to come home here. This is home.
Do you think that Brittany Griner has the right to feel a certain way about not having come home yet? Like, why would she, at this particular, I'm being honest, at this point, why would Brittany Griner feel some way about not coming home yet? Ain't nobody in America did nothing that made Brittany Griner's situation what it is. Now, you could argue that perhaps the geopolitical standing of America or the tension between America and Russia, whatever the
it doesn't help that, it
yeah that it doesn't help that they are obviously that having an American with a high profile is very valuable to the Russians, but to be honest with you, that's something that she's known since she's been playing in Russia. So the reality is I would hate to think that Brittany Griner is somewhere in this is not me being hyper patriotic, but I don't think Brittany Griner has the right to be somewhere in a Russian jail mad at America. She should be mad at the Russians who are detaining her for a bullshit crime. Like, whatever happens on this side is what needs to happen to help get her out.
Well, you say that, but there are a lot of Americans who think that are mad at Biden. I mean, previously, before LeBron even made this comment, he criticized Biden that he wasn't doing enough, that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris needed to be doing more and they needed to bring her home, which is why I love you pointing out like, well, what actually do they have the power to do? And so I do think that there are a lot of Americans who think she should be home and are mad at the government for not bringing her home. So it's not far-fetched to say that Brittany might feel the same way, especially after even reading her letter.
And I don't say this very often, especially, you know, during this podcast with the whole taco situation, but it's unfair to the administration to hold them responsible for whether or not they can get Brittany Griner. It just is. When you look at the facts of everything, it just is. It's unfair to hold the administration responsible. There's a lot of other things that it's fair to hold the administration responsible for, but Brittany Griner's situation is not one of them. Having said that, I would love for Brittany Griner to come home right away, and they need to do whatever they can do to bring her home. But I'm trying to understand where people are getting the idea that in some way Brittany Griner is getting this treatment because she's Brittany Griner. I mean, that's just a reality. She's getting this treatment right now because she's Brittany Griner. So, I don't know. All right, LeBron, make sure you be on your shit there. Herschel Walker's son, Christian Walker. Did you say you did not know that Christian Walker was? Did you didn't know that Christian Walker was Herschel Walker's son? Did you say that?
I've never said that.
That was Donnie. Donnie, jump on.
I didn't say that. I said I didn't know Christian Walker was the one involved in this story.
Liar. Donnie, before this was happening, liar. Before this was happening, you said, I didn't know that that was Herschel Walker's son. You said, I didn't know that was Christian.
I saw the video, and I didn't know that that was Christian Walker that we had talked about previously on the podcast. So I definitely knew that Christian Walker was Herschel Walker's son because we talked about him on Higher Learning.
Liar.
Get him straight. We have previously talked about him.
Oh, Donnie is lying right now.
You misunderstood me. You were right, Donnie, what you just said. I said I didn't know that was Christian Walker, referring to the video that we're about to play.
No, you said I didn't know that was Herschel Walker's son. I was like, really? And you're like, yeah, I didn't know that that was. I'm like, you didn't know that that was Herschel Walker's
son. Right, the person talking in the video.
Donnie is lying, guys. He's not trying to, like, Donnie is not trying to take responsibility for his ignorance of Christian Walker.
Let me hear the clip.
So this is what happened. Christian Walker and Kalani, shout out to Kalani. They had a run-in at a Starbucks. Looks like the one off Highland here in LA. I didn't know Christian Walker lived out here. That's scary. Here's the audio.
He might be visiting.
Everyone's entitled to an opinion, and you're so rude, or you wouldn't be telling barista workers that I'm an asshole. So why do we have matches? Ma'am, you don't need to tell baristas that I'm an asshole because I have an opinion. Get your drink and go away. I can have an opinion like everybody else. Why are you entitled to an opinion and not me? You want to tell baristas I'm an asshole?
Yeah, I'm telling them to be.
Well, guess what? You're the asshole. You are an asshole. Get your drink and go. Get your drink and go. You can have an opinion. I can have an opinion. If you can have an opinion, I can have an opinion, ma'am.
Oh my goodness.
If you can have an opinion, get your drink and go.
Okay.
What am I supposed to do with that? What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do with this?
So Donnie, there's backstory to this. Donnie, what's the backstory?
Oh.
Apparently, he was upset that Starbucks on Highland had rainbow flags outside, pride flags. And in response to his complaint about the pride flags, Kalani referred to him as an asshole to the barista. And that's where the video picks up, where he's responding to that.
Isn't he in the community?
That's why it's confusing, yeah.
But he's confusing, right? He's a walking contradiction, right? Nothing he says makes sense. So, of course, actually, it does more align that he doesn't like the flag and he is in the community. Because everything he does is just like off. Well, that actually, Donnie, that explanation doesn't help. That doesn't explain the situation any better. Yeah.
You know what? Christian, he was acting like an asshole in the Starbucks, according to Kalani, and I believe her. She's a nice lady. But he's right. He does get to have his opinion, and it's our opinion that he's an asshole.
And it has nothing, but like, that's your only thing you can say. I'm allowed to have an opinion. Okay. Yeah. And so can she. It's just,
yeah, she thinks you're an asshole. You want to fight about it, nigga? She said, like, put your shoes on, nigga. Like, nah, you have an opinion. Christian, you have an opinion. You're allowed to have your opinion. We think your opinion makes you an asshole.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it.
Put the foot thing down.
No, I don't want this. The foot thing is my scepter. This is the sound that a lot of people heard coming from their mom's room after they had gone to sleep. This is the sound that they heard.
Say it again.
This is the sound that, you know, kids, they go to sleep, they tuck themselves in, they're up reading the comic, and all of a sudden, you know, single mom, hard day at work, it's Friday night, they hear this.
You're so squished. Cut that out.
Don't cut it out. Leave that in there. God damn it. Mama needs some love too, even if it's self-love. All right, question for you. Let's say that the aliens come down, these aliens that we're talking about, right? Mm-hmm. And the aliens say, we can trade one. We can give them one. Are we giving them Christian or Herschel?
Herschel.
You're giving them Herschel.
Got to. He's the one who's in a position of power. People are laughing at Christian.
I'll be honest with you. I'll probably give him Christian.
Okay.
Herschel's going to lose. Christian, we got so much more of problematic Christian coming. This is a question for the soulless jackals. The aliens come down and they say that we can give them one. They're gonna take either Christian or Herschel. Which one are you giving up? Rachel says Herschel, I say Christian. Herschel is almost quaint in his ignorance.
He's made it this far. He's made it this far. People are actually going to the ballots and checking the box for him. Like, this is an easy one. Thought Warriors, it's Herschel.
Detroit is going to reform its cash bail system to end practices that jail people that are too poor to purchase their freedom. This is very important. These reforms are meant to end practices that commonly jail people from low-income and Black communities and conserve as a model for court systems across the U.S. I want you guys to all know something right now. We talk about the idea of private prisons, and we talk about them specifically as these institutions all over the country that are for-profit prisons. I have you guys know that there is a whole for-profit system that is involved in every prison or jail when it comes to the bail bondsman. When it comes to bail, cash bail itself, when it comes to the calls that are going in and out of these places, when it comes for the food, when it comes to the concessions and all the commissary, all of this stuff is for profit. There are companies, some companies like Aramark, other telecom companies that are charging people exorbitant rates to call their families and their loved ones going in and out of prisons. If you ever made a prison call, this call is whatever, you know how expensive it is. So it's very important that if we are to have a society where prisons and jails are humane, which is the first step to having a society with no prisons or jails, in my opinion, then we have to make sure that we get as much private money out of that as possible, because once capitalism gets involved, then people get exploited. Okay. And what happened here in Detroit is a fantastic situation. Let's see if it can go further than that. You know,
I don't have much to add to that. I think it's absolutely beautiful. And I think that if judges are setting, because what happens in these hearings is that they're arguing, each side is arguing for the amount that should be placed on the defendant for them, whether, or maybe not even an amount. They might be let out on their own recognizant, I think that's what they call it. Ooh, it's been so long. They might be let out on like a PR. I think that's what they call it. Oh my gosh. Y'all don't judge me. Y'all are gonna talk about my legal stuff. It's been too long. And I don't practice criminal. But The judge will ultimately decide the amount of money, right? But they don't have to explain necessarily why in full detail they made that decision. It just meant like, oh, they're a threat to society, or oh, they're a flight risk. This is the amount. But what this reform is doing is making them say on the record why they are putting this amount forward in addition to some other things. And I actually think that that's great. The judge has to explain why you as a defendant has to have this amount versus this defendant who might not. And I think that that's great. And I hope it does catch like fire and it's implemented in other cities.
You enjoy that. You ever see, Rachel, you ever sent money to somebody in jail before?
Yep.
Really?
Yeah.
How much?
I don't remember. Personal recognizance and bond. Okay, I wasn't that far off. Sorry, I had to look at it because you know thoughtwars are going to eat me up because I couldn't remember the term.
They're going to do what?
Eat me up because I couldn't remember the term.
Oh my God. Whoa. I thought you said the thoughtwars are going to eat you out. I was like, Jesus Christ, what kind of relationships are you having with our thought warriors out there?
You know
there?
What? Donnie, your mind, didn't it sound your mind like, is still on that vibrating foot thing. That's what you're Donnie, that's where
Donnie,
you are.
Didn't it, nope. Didn't it sound like she said that?
No, I heard it.
Fuck you, Donnie. like,
that's
like,
why I was
Donnie,
like, eat me up.
Donnie, be honest with you, bruh. You're driving a wedge. You're the new, like, you're driving a wedge. You know what you said before this podcast, Donnie. You said, know that? What you said. You said, I didn't know that that was Herschel Walker's son.
Oh, my God.
And we talked about it, Donnie. Let's you know what you said.
He said in mailbag this time. Video. In
Wrong.
This video.
I was there. You weren't even there, Rach. You were play the mailbag song. Mailbag time. Time to read your letters and then we'll reply to them. Oh, it's mailbag time. Write us with your queries and we'll chime in.
All right. So, first question comes from Chocolate Hand Soap on Reddit. Van what? And Rachel. Yeah, no, right? Van and Rachel, have you ever wanted to undo an interview or is there an interview you want to redo because you screwed it up?
Yeah.
What's yours, Rachel?
It wasn't a full interview. It was a question. So I started doing extra through Zoom, through COVID. So everything was Zooms, including the award shows. And so what these award shows would do is everybody was in a room and you were randomly called on to ask your one question. And you had one question and you had to submit it and you would listen to other people ask their questions. And even if they asked the same question as you, you're technically supposed to ask that your question. And you got one chance to do it. So during the Oscars, not this year, last year, Yoon Ju-jung won for Best Supporting Actress, I believe. And she's extremely accomplished and she's been in over 80 films, but she plays in Minari. I don't know if you guys saw that. It was a really good film and she's phenomenal in it. And so she wins this Oscar. So everybody's asking her, and Brad Pitt produced this film. So he presents her with the award. She wins it and she's like kind of fanning over him and you see them talking. So every question is about Brad Pitt to her, but she can't see you. She can only hear you. So everybody's asking these questions and that was going to be our question. So she's talking to him and the question that they wanted me to ask, like my production was like, oh my gosh, we saw you talking to Brad Pitt. Like, what did he say to you and what did he smell like? And everybody flipped out over me saying that and said that I was disrespecting her by asking her.
That was you?
Yes. Asking her what
Wait,
she smelled.
What?
Yes. But I'm giving you the background. Like, I've never talked about it, but I'm giving you the background on it because we had one question and everybody's question was about Brad Pitt. So I was building off the Brad Pitt of like, yeah, we saw y'all talking. Like, what did he look like? What? And the internet went wild and was calling me. I was disrespectful. And like, how dare I disrespect her career by asking her that question? But what was
obviously, put on, that was you. We talked about it here.
Oh, did we? Well, yeah. Anyways, what was clipped was my question and not everybody's question about Brad Pitt. So when the way it looked like I was being disrespectful. But anyways, I wish I could take that back and I wish I could have had a full interview with her, which I did before she won an Oscar and it was lovely. But in that instant, people just took that question and ran with it and I hated it and it made it look like it's something that was not because I have a full interview with her where I'm asking her a bunch of different things about her illustrious career and her role in this movie. So anyways, that's the one I would
She
redo.
Said she didn't smell him. I'm yeah. not a dog.
And her response, she was like, I didn't smell him. She goes, I don't know. I didn't smell him. I'm not a dog. And obviously in here, people are like, oh, you were next to so-and-so. What did he smell like? But I think with her, it didn't translate the same way and it offended her. And that wasn't my, she answered my question, but she said that first. And so I can see how it came off a certain way. Anyways, that's the one that I would redo. That was never my intention, but it was a mistake on my part.
I think you meant it.
Whatever.
Do I you think have you one? Owe her. I think you, of course not. I don't make mistakes like that. I'm a professional. Like, shit. I think that was your Jill Biden taco moment.
It was not a taco. I didn't say anything in reference to her culture.
I don't know. I
didn't say anything, but I can see how the way that interview was, but I can see how the way the interview was set up, things were lost in translation and especially how it was clipped, but whatever. It was never my intention.
Lost in translation? Why would there need to be a translation, Rachel? What are you talking about? Why would there need to be a translation? Why has it got to be about translation, Rachel?
Because when you're in my interview, my first interview, there was a translator. And in this one, there wasn't. So I do think that it was like, that's something we say here and there. I don't think that it hit the same way. In my first interview with her, there was a translator.
How were you there and at our party at the same time?
Remember, I bolted. That's why I missed the announcement. Oh. I came fresh Oscar makeup, hair, glam. I changed clothes and bolted to your party.
That's a lot from downtown all the way to high.
No, remember, it was at the studio because it was over Zoom. Interviewed. So I'm telling you, the whole thing was awkward. It was just a mess. Right. So anyways, that's like the one that I would love to redo or I would just let the first interview I did with her stand because it was great.
It's a good answer. Honestly, I've never had one like I haven't, but not just because, you know, I haven't interviewed as many.
Sure. That's fine. Van, you're a better interviewer than me. It's totally fine.
It's not true at all.
It's totally fine. That's what he said, guys. True. That's what he said.
That's actually not what I said at all. But I just can't think of one. All right. What's the next question?
All right, next one. Dex Dark on Reddit asks, if you were to follow Tron, aka Ray J, and name yourself after a sci-fi, what would your name be?
Is that what he's named after?
Tron, the movie, yeah, Tron.
Oh. Yeah. I don't know sci-fis.
Uh-huh. Really?
Yes. E.T.?
You name yourself E.T.? No, that would be dope.
I'm just saying.
E.T. Lindsay. Know. Wow. What a Texas name. Yo, that's a really Texas name. E.T. Lindsay. That's like a Texas oil baron.
Yeah, that actually Lindsay. Really is.
That's like a Texas oil. This land here belongs to E.T. Lindsay and the Lindsay Oil Corporation. I would call my name would be a Space Odyssey. That's what I would call myself.
Space Odyssey. I was interviewing the Russo brothers for the Gray Man movie, which is a good movie. You guys should see.
Hate that shit, but that's okay.
Really? It was. Yeah, I liked it. I enjoyed it. Yeah. Is it out?
The people saw it. It's critics, man. Critics. It's critics.
Okay. Anyways, I asked Ryan about joining the MCU, which he said he'd love to do. And then I told the Russo brothers he said that. And I said, particularly if you guys come back to the MCU. And he said, they were like, oh, well, that would be great. And then we started talking about what character Ryan would be in the MCU. And you know, they named a character that I've never heard of in my entire life. It's something related to Thor, Bear, something. Does that sound familiar? Bear. It's like more than just that. Bear. But it's related to the Thor world. And God knows it's probably not even bear. But I think it sounded like that. It was like a full name. And he was like, you know, it's a part of the Thor world. And I was like, oh, to the Marvel folks, this is going to be huge. But I've never heard of this name in my life.
Let me see. MCU. He's saying he wants to be Ghost Rider. That's who he said he wants to be. But I don't know who they're talking about. Bear.
Gosh, I'm going to get this so wrong. Yeah. I was trying to see if Extra posted the interview. I'm going to find the clip. Extra.
All right.
Okay, E.T. And you're E.T. who? And you're who I'm again?
A Space Odyssey.
Okay.
All right, last one. E. We'll go to E.
Okay. Frito Been Having asks, what superpower do you think the others, Donnie, Finn, and Rachel, should have based on their personality?
Okay, I'll go first. Donnie should be the ability to tell a lie and then make it true. Liar.
Wow.
Any lie that Donnie tells comes to reality. Okay. Rachel's would be invulnerability. She just can't be hurt. She doesn't have any feelings. Invulnerability.
Based on my personality.
Based on your personality. Invulnerability. And mine, in my opinion, I would have the blob's powers. An immovable object that can't be moved. Can't be hurt because of the blob of gelatinous fat that is around his body. It's impervious to disease. It's impervious to pain. I am the blob. Rachel?
No, I'm not. I can't top that. I can't top that. You win.
All right. Do you have an unexpected ally of the week?
No.
I do not have an unexpected ally of the week this week either. But I have a special nod to Liz Cheney. I'm not saying she's an unexpected ally of the week. And I'm not giving a Republican the most credit just for doing the least, which is their patriotic duty, which is what she should be doing as a member of the American government. But I do have a lot of respect for Liz Cheney for doing something that a lot of the people in her party are refusing to do, which is put the institutions that have made America semi-functional over these last couple of hundred years before whatever popularity or loyalty that she might have in her own party. And I realize that she's Dick Cheney's kid and she represents a different wave and a different wing of problematic people. I get it, the whole thing, but I would be lying if I said that I didn't appreciate the courage that it takes to stand up to all of the people who are supposed to be on your side. So, you know, I'm not a Dick Cheney fan. Obviously, he's basically like Darth Vader, but I am somewhat impressed that Liz Cheney is doing what she's doing right now with the January 6th committee, which I implore you guys to be paying more attention to. All right. That's enough. Donnie the liar. Donnie, you don't have an update for us in what's going on at your home with the rabbit that you probably put there now and the snake, which probably doesn't exist?
No, I don't. But I have been thinking about this past weekend, real quick. I was in Savannah, Georgia, and my Airbnb was very old. It was built in 1842. There was a sign outside that said, built in 1842 for Ann Pittman. And the entire time I was there, I just kept thinking about the ghosts that could potentially be there, Ann Pittman. And the fact that, I was telling my wife this earlier, I had several bowel movements in this house. And Ann Pittman, I can only imagine how pissed Ann Pittman would have been that a black man.
No. Not how pissed she would have been.
How
pissed she is, dog. Ann Pittman is somewhere right now. Like, I don't know if you can see this, but it's a nigger shitting where your grandmama's room used to be. She should have took a shit on the floor. Like, yo, hey, no, Andy, fuck you. There. Andy, are you okay? There. Donnie, that's great.
Honestly, Donnie, that sounds terrifying.
Yeah,
like, you creepy. Know that that wasn't that place wasn't for us. 1842?
42. 20 plus years of slavery that house was around for. Crazy.
Niggas wasn't. This is white people was up to no good. 1842, of course. All right. Take the caps off with Not Stop Learning. I am Van Lathan Jr.
And I'm Rachel Lynn Lindsay. Bye, guys.